Music of Joaquin Turina, that was Fandanguillo, played by John Goulart. And in that amount of time, we got somebody else in the room. Good morning, Leon Atkinson. I shan't even ask how you are, but you do have a few people to thank.
I am absolutely wonderful.
Well, good.
Because of wonderful humanity. I had a, Vern said he had tar troubles. I had a blowout coming in. And and it's a tire that I just replaced at Le Schwab, not to, to put them down or anything, because tires can do that. And I'm creeping along the side, and one car gets behind me, puts his flashes on. By the time I stopped, three good Samaritans were there to help me, and I told them I was going to mention their names on the air. Michael, Greg, and Eric. And Eric was a young man, maybe 17, and Michael was a guy somewhere in his 30s, and then Greg was also somewhere in that same area, and they did everything. They took the jack. One guy had another jack. He brought the jack over. I got blocked it. So thank you guys. Don't say that there's not good people out there. There's the world is full of good people. So everybody keep radiating good energy because it will come to you.
Good.
Okay. That said, now back to guitar. First, I want to make a correction. Vern mentioned that. And not to Vern's credit, this series of the Friends of the Guitar Hour is different than last year. Last year we did it all at the Bing Crosby Theater, and this year I've moved it, trying to be more simpatico, use a nice word there, to the listening audience. I wanted one of the locations to be in Idaho, especially in the winter, so that people have to drive like I do, like a maniac, from all the way from Idaho to Spokane and back. So two of the concerts are at Jacqueline Arts and Cultural Center, and this one tomorrow night is at the Jacqueline Arts and Cultural Center in Post Falls, Exit 5. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in time. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about, because I was listening, and Vern, beautiful interview, great answers, John. But two things. First, it's kind of ironic, or not ironic, or whatever you want to call it, whatever word that really fits that. It'll come to me. It's there in my brain. This your concert is March 24th.
Yes.
And last year, March 24th or 5th or 6th, somewhere around there, look at the dates, we had Alex DeGrassi and Andrew York in for our second concert of the series.
Oh, really?
And we started the show today with Sunburst, written by Andrew York. And did you know Andrew wrote that for the Steel Street?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Originally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then John Wheeler heard it, loved it. You heard
That's
it, loved
right.
it.
Yeah.
So many other people have heard it, and loved it. It's a great piece.
Absolutely.
A great piece.
Yes.
And then the other thing I wanted, because as I'm listening to the interview, I'm thinking, oh, great, but go there. And then they did. But then you were talking about vibrato and using that. And you know, the natural thing, because you were saying how you always sang.
Yes.
And I think that is a part of what Vern was alluding to also.
Yes.
Because when you use the human voice, it's a natural thing. I mean, not like the guy that, not like that, but to just gradually massage the tone.
Yes.
So you keep it going, and it makes it richer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get the highs and the lows, and then the mid of it. And on a guitar, as you said, it's not the easiest thing to keep a sustain.
Mm-hmm.
Electric guitar, yeah, you hold a note and it gets rings.
Mm-hmm.
But on an acoustic instrument, especially in a classical acoustic instrument,
yes,
to be able to get that cantabile, that singing that we want to get on the guitar, vibrato, I think, is extremely, extremely important. And a lot of guitarists do not
very true
do that at all.
That's very true.
And you do it because you sing and because you're conducting, and you just got that awareness of what's supposed to be there. And I'm not putting down guitarists, so I don't want a million phone calls saying, Leo, what are you talking about here? But a lot of guitarists don't think about that. So
that's true.
You strike a note, and then you have that little decay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't help that little decay,
yeah,
before you strike the next note, there's a little minuscule, but nevertheless, a space between the notes.
Yes.
And it's not as singing and legato. Mm-hmm. So, okay, that all said, Vert, don't waste all the time rehashing what we talked about. I'm not going to, Vert. So let's just let's go. He's going back to your history, and I wanted to stay there a little bit.
Sure.
Because and you were talking when I walked in the door about the evolution that's happened within the university level.
Oh, yeah.
You were very lucky because you were in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto was an area that had the competitions that guys, well, girls, women, like Sharon Isbin.
Yes.
One.
Mm-hmm.
And then guys like the Brazilian's name, what was his name?
Marcelo Caiaf.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One in 1984.
That's correct.
Five.
Yeah, 84.
84, right.
I was at all those festivals.
I was at the one.
You were
at the one in 84.
That's
too, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so you were in an area where it was really rich.
Very.
And that you were very fortunate.
Yes.
I was in New York where you would think it would have been very rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fighting with schools like Juilliard.
Mm-hmm.
To get a guitar program. Schools like Manhattan School of Music.
Yes.
To get a guitar program. And what really helped launch it was the American String Teachers Association.
Oh, really?
In 1972, okay. Which I was a member of,
uh-huh.
We lobbied and we got it so that every music major that's going to go into the schools and teaches
mm-hmm.
has to be able to play guitar.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
And that kind of opened up the legitimacy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Of guitar, because I'll say it even now. In the universities, you talk to a lot of colleagues, and they think, oh, you're going to play some chords? You're going to do, it's like, you're laughing, but have you not heard that?
Not recently.
No. Okay. So it's wonderful. Let's talk about where we are.
Yeah.
We had Martha Masters in for the first concert
yes.
this year. And she's the president of the GFA.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm. And doing a lot to promote guitar in the schools and just
certainly.
A lot of different things. And it's so nice now. You're in Banff.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What's the environment like up there for guitar in the schools?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say that. Unfortunately, music has been taking a back seat more recently with the cutbacks in government in that respect. Music is, at least my experience of music in Banff and Canmore and the sort of the outlying area of Alberta is that it's more of a band experience mm-hmm. than it is anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfortunate, but I have had some connection with some students who did want to have guitar, and I did help them and teach them and prepare them for their various exams and so on. And one student in particular actually graduated from University of Victoria as a guitar student, but I would say that for the most part, it's not as prevalent, perhaps, as it is in other parts of Canada and the world
mm-hmm.
In that respect, yeah. But, music in general is certainly very vibrant and a fantastic – Banff is a fantastic place to be in.
I had the pleasure of going up and visiting John in
mm-hmm.
September.
Yep, that's right.
And I think I came back and told Vern – You and your wife were such wonderful hosts.
Oh, that was a great trip.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
And John has played the Lake Louise, that beautiful setting up
yes.
there.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the hotel we went through.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name?
Banff Springs Hotel.
Banff Springs Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And at this magnificent hotel, and to have John, who has played there, knows every little crevice and how to go through, and we get there and hear these beautiful doors like I used to see in Spain.
He yes.
Goes, well, they imported these doors from Spain.
Yes. And it was called the Alhambra Room.
The Alhambra
yeah,
Room,
that's right.
Right,
yeah.
And the Alhambra is where the Tadiger was
yes.
inspired to write
mm-hmm.
the Requiebras.
That's
the
correct.
Alhambra.
Very true.
So, it's all part of the history of guitar.
Yes.
Which is so wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's talk about guitar a little bit more.
Sure.
Not that I don't keep talking about it anyway, but you're holding a wonderful instrument there, and I want to give it a plug.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a guitar built by someone here in Spokane, Washington. He's sitting out in the lobby, and he probably can't hear it because if he could, he'd come and tell me, shut up. But his name is Eric Saline, and he is a masterful luthier.
He certainly is.
Masterful luthier.
And a friend of mine.
And a good friend.
Yes.
Good friend of guitarist, period.
Yes, absolutely.
And he built this guitar for John, and you have the holes in your shoulders, so that would be what, a 19...
This is a 2006 model.
2006.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he, this is a tremendous instrument. I had worked it with Eric that I won from my Aranjuez recording. I wanted a new instrument. I'd had Eric's previous guitar. This is my third guitar built for me
by Eric. Right, yeah.
And I wanted a new instrument for the Aranjuez CD, and he was you know, it just worked out that he had one available. And this guitar is truly exquisite. It has beautiful woods, which I actually let Eric pick out for the first time. My previous other two guitars that he had made for me, I selected each piece mm-hmm. of the wood, mm-hmm. as most guitarists do that are really interested in making, because of all of the aesthetic and the sonorities that are available from the instrument. Mm-hmm. And so Eric actually came up in November of 2006 and brought it up to me up in Banff, and drove up, and we spent a wonderful week together. And I was just so happy with this instrument. It's such an incredibly good instrument. I actually played it in a concert about 6 months later in Spokane for the Bach Festival
I'll touch it.
Yeah, and so in any case, this guitar is on the Aranjuez CD, and this is by far Eric's best instrument that I've ever played, and I'm just so happy that he actually made it for me specifically. So,
and he had the Rogers machines.
Yes, yeah, and he's got black pearl.
Yeah, the black pearl, yeah,
and and the inlays, and so it's just absolutely gorgeous, and I love it to death.
I'm not usually that interested in TV, but I wish that we had a camera here so you could see.
Yeah.
The smile on John's face, because he is so excited, and the love that he looks at this guitar. This is my baby.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Exactly.
I don't want you to play anything major, but I want you to do something. You can even be improvised.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that a little bit also.
Yeah.
But just something, the sweet, all guitars, all instruments have sweet spots.
Yes, yes.
And you've played this guitar now for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know it intimately, every little spot.
Mm.
Play something that really shows the sweet spot of this instrument.
Wow, okay, interesting. No pressure.
No pressure.
Oh, let's see. Well, there's this Bach prelude that I really love playing on this cello suite prelude that I did a transcription for. And there's some really beautiful elements of this particular guitar that come out in certain parts. So,
the balance.
Absolutely.
The Bach's music is incredibly challenging on any instrument. But when you're playing Bach mm-hmm. on a guitar and you have all these intricate melodies and rhythms and lines going that you want to come through, and you have an instrument and you try and play it, it's not giving it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, even if it's a good guitar.
Yes.
Some of them, you know, certain areas they're really good, but that guitar, I know exactly why you played that piece.
yeah.
Because the inner voices coming down, the descending lines.
Yes,
They were so balanced and so even,
mm-hmm.
and it could have been a cello with a bow.
Right. Well, that's that actual type of transcription I wanted to match.
The cello,
okay. Because most of the time this particular piece is played in A major, which is much higher mm-hmm. on the guitar and has a different sonority.
Totally.
And so this one is in C major, from the original, and so I transcribed it to D so that I could get this low D as much as possible in it to get it to sound like a cello as well. And the other thing about this guitar that I love so much is, you mentioned it, is how even it is because when you're going generally on a lot of guitars, you go from the D string, which is a wound string, to the G string, which is not wound, and a lot of times They have a very different sound, but when you're playing a melody on this guitar, the difference between the highest string and the lowest string is minimized.
That's right.
And so that really makes it a very even-tempered instrument, for sure.
You're also doing something that I'm glad, we talked about this before, but I'm just looking, before I made the comment, he also is helping it.
yeah.
Because he's using a third string composite.
That's right. Yes.
The Dario, which I knew also for the same reason, because the transition from the wound to the third string is less noticeable.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
Very, 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 very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. I'm talking, and Vern always says, get away from the geek guitar stuff and let's let people hear music. So there was a piece that you said you wanted him to play. Can we put that on, Vern, and just to go back to the guitar sound, and then I'll mention the date of the Mars concert and a little bit more about what's why John is here.
Yeah, this is Rafaga by Turina.
That was beautiful. I was listening to it, and I was saying, yeah, John, you nailed that, the rhythm. You know, well, you did. You know, I listen to a lot of guitarists, and to some that I'm always in awe of, like Julian Bream. And then there's others that they play all the notes, and they got good technique, but they don't necessarily get inside of the character of what they're playing.
Right, right.
And you... Yeah. That line, it said it all. It did. It was right there.
Thank
Boom.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We also talk, and I want to talk about this a little bit too. You produced and recorded the Aranjuez with
this
guitar.
Guitar. Yes.
And you also conducted.
Yes.
And Vern and I have talked about this, and I Vern says I don't know. I don't know if I see him sitting in. I'm doing this.
Yeah. I think if I wanted a nervous breakdown, I would have done that.
So then he's right, because I wasn't sure how you did it.
Well, yeah, yeah.
What I was alluding to, since you can't see me, listening audience, is that he was playing the guitar, and his hands up, and nope, cut, and I'm playing the guitar.
Yeah, right.
Cue. Nervous breakdown. Yeah, that would
yeah, that would have been incredibly stressful. So no.
You recorded the orchestra.
Yes. I recorded the orchestra first, and I actually did it in two sessions, and then I also had some overdub sessions with a couple of musicians after the fact, one of the trumpet players and a flute player, and so. The recordings were done at the University of Calgary and done with a remarkable engineer, and he's from Calgary as well, and he came in with a mobile unit.
Oh,
and actually,
really?
Yeah, it was really impressive. His name is Jason Wright, and he works out of Dark Matter Studios, and so. He was very helpful in the initial parts of the recording, and so we recorded the guitar much later. I ended up doing the orchestra parts first, and then after all of the recording sessions were done, then I ended up piecing together edits and so on, and we edited mm-hmm. and mixed and so on, and then until I was finally happy with the end result of each particular movement, mm-hmm. and then I practiced my guitar to those recordings.
Right.
But I found that wasn't musically interesting enough for me. Like, it's unfortunate if the guitar is supposed to be leading and yet it's following the orchestra. Mm-hmm. So there were some movements where I did it as such. But then there were other movements where I had the guitar and I recorded the guitar first. And then I edited the orchestra to the guitar. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And there were some movements, like, for example, the second movement of the Fantasia, the da dee dee, that beautiful.
That's gorgeous, yeah.
That beautiful movement. I ended up doing a half and half version. So I got, there were some phrases that the guitar led, and there were some phrases that the orchestra led, depending on the music at the time. And the amount of editing was ridiculous. The amount of edits, exactly. So when you're recording approximately 64 tracks of orchestra to the guitar, and then having to cut and paste and do all these different things, which I was fortunately able to do, and because I produce all of my own recordings, I did most of the engineering after the fact as well, and so. It ended up with that version of the Aranjuez recording, which I'm very proud of because...
It's one of the better ones out there.
Oh, thank you.
I'm serious. I'm saying that you're here. Mm. Vern, have I said that before?
No, well, I'm crazy about my one favorite RCA LSC 2730 Julian Bream recording.
Uh-huh.
see how crazy I am for it.
I know that recording, by the way.
yes,
exactly.
So happy.
Wow, well, thank you so much. It was a labor of love for me, really.
Well, it was obvious.
Yeah.
And I, when I talked about you, when I was talking about you coming down and all that, I said, you know, there's guitarists and then there are musicians that are guitarists. Hmm. And I put you in the category of being, you know, yes, you're a phenomenal guitarist, but
thank you.
You are a musician playing the guitar, like Julian Bream is.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
and there's a lot of guitarists that, you know, play the guitar and play it wonderfully, but the musician side mm-hmm. isn't there at the same level.
Yeah.
And when you get the two of them matched, mm-hmm. that is really quite something.
Thank you. I'm really glad that you mentioned Julian Bream because he was one of my probably most important influences when I was bringing up in the guitar. And just, you know, if there was a recording of Julian Bream, I was going to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his recordings, I end up trying to emulate
mm-hmm.
As an example, that Fandanguillo, I remember his recording of it, and he did that España, I think, that Spanish guitar thing in the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
and he recorded it then, and that was a really big influence on me, mm-hmm. and then I recorded it subsequently since that time, mm-hmm. and he was the guy I listened to.
He's the man.
Of course, besides my own teacher, Barueco, who mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is a truly a great influence now in the guitar world.
Well, Manuel has been here and played with the symphony.
Oh, okay.
And I had never met Manuel.
Yes.
Yeah, and so I went and I, after the concert, congratulating him, and I said, I want all your CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at me, I said, well, first of all, the reason you have your job at Manhattan School of Music is because I got them to. I was the first teacher at that school.
Yes, that's right.
And then
you told me that long ago. Yes.
Yeah. And so that's how you got to. Give more.
I studied with him at Manhattan School, actually, from 85 to 87.
Okay.
And There you go. Wow, that's amazing. How?
Yeah, well, it's a small world. Of, yes, you know, we've all been fighting this battle forever. Yeah, you know, and it's so nice.
Yes.
To have products like you that have come through the trenches. That sounds a little bit too rough, but through the trenches, and come through playing the way you do, and sharing the art of the instrument with the world the way you do.
Mm-hmm. Thank
so
you
it's
so
a pleasure.
Much.
I want to mention again to anyone that heard it wrong, it's not at Holy Names. It is at the Jacqueline Arts and Cultural Center in Post Falls. Coming in from Spokane, you get off at exit 5, and you come down the ramp, and you make a right turn, go one block, and make a left, one block and a half, and it's right there in the corner. Mm-hmm. If you're coming from the other way, you get off at exit 5, and you make a left, and you go under the over ramp, one block, and make a left. It's pretty easy to find. It's acoustically beautiful. I did not have the first two concerts of this series recorded for many reasons, but mainly I was dealing with my eyesight not being there when in the very beginning. You should don't even
goodness.
Know about probably.
Actually, Eric told me. Yeah.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
okay,
he did,
yeah. And so I was even debating whether I'm cancel this, what's going to happen. But fortunately, I got my sight back and I was able to. We're doing it, and so I didn't set up the recording for the first two, which I was sick over. But we are recording yours.
Oh.
Okay.
We have 2 minutes.
Oh, God. Okay. John Goulart.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming down.
It's my pleasure.
And sharing your artistry with the Spokane and Idaho area. And everyone listening to the show today, this doesn't happen often. Last time I got John down here was when we did the Bach Festival.
That's right, yeah.
And that's how many years ago? 10?
That was in 07.
07. Yeah. Okay, 9.
Yeah.
Oh, no, almost 17. Yeah, yeah. So 10 years ago.
Almost 10 years
that was,
ago.
God, okay.
That's right.
In any event, I have 30 seconds left. This is Leon Atkinson of the Guitar Hour. The concert tomorrow night at the Jacqueline Arts and Cultural Center with John Goulart at 7:30. Tickets are still available through Brown Bag Tickets. Get your tickets, and I will see you there.
And, you know, we're going to go out with just a few seconds of his playing. Why not just give us, we're going to go back just with that same lovely opening of Sunburst.
Oh, nice.
Again, a little taste of the playing of John Goulart, who's playing tomorrow night, as Leon mentioned.